Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Dr. Loretta D. Smith, the host of the Dr. Lowe Show, the real relationship guru with no limits. Sometimes
it's like that. Sometimes the devil is working that way. So do try to call in. Try to call in and share your thoughts in regards to America busting at the seams. And we'll see exactly, can we get some things. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I will identify the last four digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then we want you to be a major part of this. We want you to definitely offer your name and location if you're comfortable with name. At least get your location. Then give your comments. Offer your, and more or less I'll say, offer your thoughts. Offer your expertise as we talk about America busting at the seams, COVID-19, and social unrest. Now, we want to kind of get back. I just text each one of those and ask them to call in now to see if they can get in now so I can kind of see what it is. If not, we have to take the lumps like they are, and I'll work through the rest of the formats for the night, and then we'll make sure we have a part, and we always up to part 5 in regards to talking about the crisis in America. And let me kind of pull some other things that we have on the format that we want to talk about. We was talking about young people and some of the things they could do and they have to do to help their mental health, to help their wellness. And I wanted the experts that I have in here, the co-hosts, to come in and join and share their thoughts on that. And hopefully they'll try to call in and see, because I see it's on here. I see it's available for you to call in, because I know I'm live, because I'm able to hear what's going on in regards to the system. And it got me up live. So I'm live, so I know that I'm available, so you can be available to call in as well. All right, 5 ways to guard yourself, guard your mental health during the COVID-19 new outbreak. First of all, you have to get to your routine when we're dealing with it. Your mental health is so important. Your emotional health is important. Your physical health is important. Your spiritual health is important. Your financial health is important. One or two of those things are not clicking right, we're going to have it affects all 5 of them. So keep that in mind when we're dealing with this crisis, we're dealing with COVID-19, as well as social unrest. We have to sort of like financially remember that COVID-19 laid a lot of people off. A lot of us run into problems paying our bills. A lot of us run into problems being able to function and being able to do what we need to do. And unfortunate, we're not being able to do it, so we have to rely on the aid through the CARE Act. And, you know, that was a $1,200 check came to each one of the individuals in some form, mail, direct in your account, a card or whatever, to help promote us, help us move forward, help us be successful. Then it was also $500 per child, which allowed us to allow the children be helped as well, up to 3 children in a family. Then you had things for small business, money for small business. Then we had the money put aside for unemployment, which we had over 41 million people unemployed, and they received additional $600 through the CARE Act. So we had a lot of things to kind of help us get going, but we also forgot about the mental health. We have you, Lisa. We have you. We have you, Lisa. Yeah. We have you. Yeah, we have you. So you're back, you're on, and the calls is on now, and I'm hoping Scarlett called back as well. I had to do a little working to make sure we can go a little bit longer tonight, because I just put in 90 minutes from the time I reset to show up anyway. So we have additional time to go if we need to go, and we will be able to talk some more. We was talking, and I know you typed out several things. Our co-host, as I gave her the introduction, that she said she was talking and I couldn't hit her, and I was talking and she apparently couldn't hit me. She saw me on Facebook, but she's originally, and I'm gonna do this again because I think it's important, out of the state of Ohio, Cleveland, up there. It's kind of cold up there by Canada, very close to Canada, and she decided to move down on the South Peninsula of Florida, and she's down in Boca Raton, Florida, where the weather is warm and also where people are a little different from everybody else. And she said it from the beginning. And when I said that, because she talked about none of these people are wearing any masks, none of these people are doing anything, and none of these people are following any kind of safety measures, and they're still going to the beach, they're doing things day to day, and they're not taking this serious. And now we're seeing the results of it. We're talking about this individual, and as I talk about where she's from, I just want to just give a serious shout and say thank you for hanging in here with me tonight. And I was going to try to call, and the other ones tried to as well. But without further ado, the co-host for tonight is Lisa Levine. Lisa, how you doing?
Hi, Dr. Lowe. How are you?
I am fine, you know. In essence, you know, we have to keep grinding. You know, like my dad always told me, you know, and that's my hashtag, keep on grinding. So I keep on grinding, you know. We laid me rest on Thursday, as I shared earlier with the individuals on the show, and you know as well, on Thursday and Father Day was a challenge, now a real big challenge. But I always think about what he always told me. He said, you know, it's keep on grinding. Don't give up. Don't stop no matter what happened.
Yeah.
So we was coming on tonight, and we was talking about America busting at the seams, COVID-19, and social unrest. So, Lisa, as we talk about mental health, you typed in several things on Facebook, which were being aired on Facebook as well. And if you could just kind of, you know, share what you typed in and also talk about some things that are going to help. Now, Lisa is a licensed clinical social worker. She works with young people. She's also I make sure I said this right, she's a certified yoga instructor, professionally,
yes, sir.
I say. And I want to make sure, because that's the way to work with the mental health and the wellness as well as dealing with social unrest, meaning that our young people deal with it. We're talking about children, adolescents. We always talk about adults. Let's talk about children. And the show is going to be a focus on that, and plus some other things dealing with Black Lives Matter, as well as one of the things Lisa shared earlier, and she talks about it, and I think we just let it blow by our head, but I'd be listening, like having more Black history venues so individuals can go in that they can find out the history. So, you know, be educated. That's what we're talking about during this process. Also, Lisa, before you say anything, let me introduce if I can get her to pop up, this is our other co-host, hail from the state of South Carolina, none other than Scarlett Ace Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
Well, trying to get
hey,
in.
Scarlett.
We're finally in. Hey, Lisa. Trying to get in, y'all.
How are you?
I understand you're
know,
trying to get in, too.
Yeah, it happens. I had problems this morning on Zoom, and I said, it is what it is. Right, guys?
Right.
It is
what
it is.
We move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Because,
we do it another night, or we do it, you know, we make it work.
We'll make it work. So
we make it work.
The topic we was talking about was mental health and wellness for children and adolescents during COVID-19 and social unrest. And both of y'all can join in. Jump in when y'all ready to jump in. We'll talk about that for, you know, a bit of time. Then we'll jump on Black Lives Matter, and we just talk about some topics there as well.
Well,
I guess
basically,
where I'd like
what
to
little
start,
bit I did hear, I could hear you, but I couldn't say anything. I was trying to say something, but children are afraid, and I think Lisa sent some things into you that you read, you know, that we talked about before on this show a couple of weeks ago, really, about the same topic, and doing things that would put children at ease. But one thing is to don't shush them up. Kids need to talk. And
you
need to communicate and let them express their fears. Don't have them to hide it or to suppress it. Let them be free to tell you how they're feeling. And sometimes you really don't have to say a whole lot on your end. The only thing you need to do is just really listen and let them know that you understand and that everything is going to be, you know, all right. And some things that, you know, ask them what kind of things make them feel better during this time, because I saw the news shows today too, Doc, about And we had mentioned this before during Mental Health Month and Suicide Month, where the suicide rates for kids under the age of 13 are on the increase. And we certainly don't want that from any child. But kids are fearful. Adults are scared. You know, and we know how we feel. So can you imagine how a child is feeling? So let them express it. Let them draw it out if they need to draw or whatever the case may be. But more than anything, let them talk. Let them express it in their own way. And then do everything you can to try to alleviate their fears. Let them know that you're there to protect them, that everything is going to be okay. Kids just need to feel that they're being loved and protected, that they're safe and secure.
Well, I think I'm going to jump in, guys, but I talk to a lot of kids about this, and what I'm seeing is an increase in depression right now, especially in my teens. It's a lot of fear. It's a lot of uncertainty. And again, I keep going back to this whole, there's so much misinformation out there. So one thing, and for parents out there, whoever's listening, when you're talking to kids about this, yes, there's a bad virus out there, and there's lots of germs and all sorts of things out there. So we all have to work on hygiene and being responsible and self-care, and being honest about it. But these kids do not, they're not seeing the light here at the end of the tunnel. And, when I'm talking to them, I want them, it's a bad virus. We have to wash our hands. We need to take care of ourselves, eat properly, exercise. And I think what's happening at home now, guys, think about how long everybody's been locked up together. Mm-hmm. I have parents telling me they just let their kids play video games. They're letting them go in the other room. Guys, you can't just let them sit on the video games. It's very unhealthy. Some of the stuff, you guys, I've seen on – and I went onto the TikTok because all I'm hearing is TikTok. I couldn't believe some of the stuff I saw on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
I was appalled. I mean, I really – I'm not a social media fan, but I go on for my businesses and my kids, and I advocate for people and – but some of the things these kids are seeing, they're inundated, and then they're up all night. And it's hard. Yep. And, I'm trying to tell people, can you find one friend, like even a family friend, where your kid and their kid can social distance? Can they go for a bike ride? Can they have a picnic outside? Can they paint outside? I mean, I'm even offering to do like a social distance yoga art kind of thing with like 4 to 6 kids outside in a safe, clean area. We're offering virtual classes. We're hearing feedback that it's hard for kids to do virtual. I get it, because they're on screen time so much. But if we can do things that are safe and healthy, because I'm worried. When we were all younger, we got to do all sorts of things. Their lives are totally disrupted. And I agree with Scarlett, we got to let them talk. And I just, a lot of times lately, I just let people talk. If they want to yell, I let them yell. I mean, it's very upsetting and frustrating. There's so many things going on at one time. And, especially when you're dealing with kids, especially the teens, because they want to be out, or they have a crush on someone, or they like someone, or they, they didn't get to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Or kids graduating from college
and
high school. These things are very damaging to many kids. Like they're missing out. And parents, you got to step up a little bit. I know kids act like they don't want to be around you, and they probably don't, but try to step in and make it, like I texted in earlier, prepare a meal, bake together, bike rides, walks, there's a lot of nature places, too, I'm finding out in this area that I was unaware of. There's nature walks you can go on. There's different things that we can be doing. I mean, we just have to try to stay busy. But sleeping all day and being up all night and then laying around eating, and I'm hearing a lot of people are gaining a lot of weight. it's just not healthy. We had, I've been hearing, I gained 19 pounds, someone told me. I know. Well, it's to even yoga, guys, just yoga, you know, you can do fast-paced yoga, you can do slow-paced, you know, there's yin yogas, there's vinyasa yogas, there's, you know, most times I make the adults do kids yogas. I think I mentioned to you, Dr. Blow, I'll come on live and do it on your show. We can do something to get people moving around, but it's really important.
But still, you know.
I know.
Exactly.
But, you know, you can. One thing parents can do for those kids that are not of driving age, take them by a friend's house. You put your buds in your ears and play music and let them talk to their friends at a distance. You can do that and let them know you're not listening to their conversation, but just let them, you know, have just a chance to be a kid, acting silly and this type of thing. I've seen some people in my neighborhood do that. They just drive by, child's in the back seat or whatever, roll down the window. They plug into a book they're here listening to, you know, while the kid is talking to their best friend or whatever. But just got to be creative and think outside the box as the things that
absolutely.
We can do to relieve the tension. And then if you're tense and, you know, you have a depressive moment yourself, take it out of the view of your children. They don't need to see that. Don't, you know, because a lot of my kids were always put into a position of being the little man of the house, parent of the house.
Yeah.
They're kids.
Well,
you know,
well,
try to refrain from having them be another parent in the house. So take it away from them. If you got to go in the bathroom, put a towel in your mouth or whatever and cry or whatever, do it. But don't let your kids see you, you know, break down, because it's
tense
for everybody right now. It really is.
Well,
and
you
they
know
need
what
to
else
see you as a
kids,
strong
Scarlett?
Person.
Scarlett, I think, too, just saying, mom needs a moment. You know, mom needs some mom time.
She needs a time.
You know, if you are, if you are having a hard time, it's okay to say, you know, I'm feeling sad or I'm frustrated and I just need some time. You know, model appropriate ways.
You're right. Of
you know,
doing
that
it.
You handle yourself. Mm-hmm. But you're right. When you start having a breakdown, and you're yelling at your kid, that's you taking your anger and frustration out on your child.
Exactly.
You know, and that's we want to avoid. And you know what another problem I'm seeing is this uncertainty about school starting. Well, I keep telling people we don't know. Just be
very
patient.
Uncertain.
It's very uncertain. And I think I mentioned I was texting you before. We had low rates here. All of a sudden, because everybody started traveling down here, and where I'm at in Boca, they're pretty strict from what I've seen, the few places I've gone. You have to. People will throw you out if you don't have your mask on, but there's a lot of people not wearing masks, and they're not taking it serious. And I'm like, because we don't know everything, and it's just better to err on the side of caution.
Exactly.
You know, they keep, well, it's not air. Now they're saying it's not airborne and it's not this, but let's just take it. It's a virus and viruses are in the air and they are on surfaces, just like the flu. Anything can be airborne.
Exactly.
So it's just being smart and think about other people, not just yourself. So.
And that's what we want to make sure everybody understands. It affects the well-being of yourself, your mental health. And we have to understand there's a lot of things that we've done. We talked about it several shows back, and we continue to talk about it because we're still in this time. We're still in a crisis or busting at the seam, as the title say. We got to understand COVID-19 is not going anywhere. And I even heard someone say this. Well, they were saying about this is we hadn't even got to phase two. And some people go, huh? I thought we was already in phase two. It becomes a mental thing. And let me use, for example, we think it because when people say phase two or reopening mean that it is phase two of COVID-19. We're not even in phase because we're just beginning to deal with
phase one.
We're
still having a wave of phase one. There's
a whole
wave.
Mm-hmm. Remember, guys, they said the second wave would come in September or something. No,
September.
It's continual because people are making bad decisions.
When you get a misinformation from the top and the CDC, the NIH, and all these places cannot get on national TV without his permission to speak, people are getting information from all over the place and they're confused. Some are going to follow his lead and not wear a mask and not take the safety precautions. So when your leader sets that tone, and you're bent on being just like the leader, then this is what you do. So this is why we got all this misinformation, whatever. But I say to people, please use your common sense.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need for a leader to tell me what I need to do. You know, I don't care. You know, I can see
the
charts on TV.
Yeah.
Or the governors. I can see the charts on TV. I can see how the numbers are rising. This little old short woman is going to be wearing a mask, gloves, and covering my hair.
We're going to have to realize
if I need to move the hazmat suit out of my car trunk, I'll wear it.
We do that. We got to do that because when you're talking about listening to what other people are saying, we got to go back to just what we always focus on our show, taking it block by block. Grassroots.
Not wait for somebody to come on
minute
a white
by
horse
minute.
Say,
be in the moment.
Ain't nobody coming to on a white horse to save this situation. We're going to have to do that. We have
and
to
there's nowhere
sure.
to run, guys.
I'm so proud of the mayor of Montgomery deciding to, even though the council voted it down because of a tie 4-4 vote, they went on and made an executive order that everybody have to wear a mask, but within a group of 10. You know, 10 or more got to wear a mask. I know that's now, it's not mandatory like some folks say you just have to wear, but you have to take some steps. I think, and personally feel, you have to put lives ahead of making a whole lot of money. All these people like the state of Georgia opening up, and now it was okay, now they're shooting up. The state of Florida, they're shooting up. Montgomery is
did you hear what they want to do down here in November with the Republican National Convention? Did you hear
they
that?
They're coming to Jacksonville, aren't they?
They want to come to Florida, and I'm thinking, I won't be here if that's the case. But, it's such a huge, huge mistake to do things in large crowds right now. And to do that, to me, when I heard that today, I said, wow. The governor here is very disappointing, and I'll come out and say it. And but
he's
it's
a Trump
disappointing.
Lobster.
It's
Everybody
very
knows
dis-
it.
He's very
Trump
disappointing.
Lobster.
Yeah,
lacking, whatever you want to call it.
And, you know, Trump's got residency here. So, of course, they're not going to close down. But people's lives are at stake. Forget about economically. Yeah, you're going to keep opening things or not having rules straight down, you know, the line. Whatever rules in Boca should be in Delray, should be in Miami, should be it should be the same rules.
Yeah,
just
be
temporarily,
be
guys.
State,
I know. But the longer they do it, that they don't follow, the longer this is going to go on and keep getting worse. And I think people don't realize that. The longer
we keep that in mind as we talk with each other. See, the thing about it, we got to do this at the grassroots level. And we got to talk with each other. And education is important. A lot of people just, they have fear. We all have fear because we don't know where we heading to. But we got to be able to what little knowledge we have. If it's simply practicing the safety measures, let's practice the safety measures. One of the things that was burning me inside was about here in the area I'm in that I was wondering why not one city councilman, not even my district city councilman, would nobody come out. If you come and talk to each one of your constituents, I think it's nine districts, and talk with them, maybe get the word about wearing a mask, social distancing. You got some people out there having a ball. I'm saying they're partying hard. Some people are mad because we had a curfew from 10 to 5. They're upset that they can't be at the club. They can't be out in the club at 10.
Right.
I said, first thing I hear was going to be, well, you know, they go to business all day. Why can't they be out in the street all the night time? You know, we just got to start realizing that something we have to just take a step back and say we don't have to do it for the sake of making sure we can live as long as we can. But we're going to move forward, and we're going to have to, because of our, you know, adjustment in our time. We're going to kind of look at something I thought was important. I've seen it happen here in Montgomery over the weekend, discussing the impact it would be for black men, black males, to unite and support Black Lives Matter. How important is that for those individuals that we can consider the one we that always kind of shy back? We always say a lot of times women just take charge. They're going to go do what it needs to be done. Sometimes we step back. Is it a time to step back? And personally, I had a conversation with someone this weekend in regards to this. And we was talking, he's a minister, he's a pastor, and he was just talking about, he said he was listening to a gentleman tell him about dealing with men, or we'll look focused, because I had to focus on cultural, my cultural. And we said we have two types, and you can agree or disagree, but it's fine. You know, it's two types. You either fall into one or another category. You fall in the category of the king, where you're ready to provide, protect, and do all the things that need to be done to lead. Or are you ready to fall into the category of the fool? That's, someone can take it personal. That's when you're willing to do everything opposite from doing what you're supposed to. And what are we going to do? Are we going to unite and start training our young people to fall in one category? Because it's easy to fall in one over there where you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be responsible. You're making babies all over the place. You're not taking care of your children. You're not holding on to the job. You're not taking care of your family. What about trying to get us where we need to be? So that this movement needs the black males to take a role. What's your thoughts on that?
So what specific question are you asking? What role should they be taking?
Sort of like, what impact would it be if the black males decided to unite and support Black Lives Matter? I know we have people out there, we have males out there. If they just go full force and just take the idea that we're going to step and be a little bit more in the lead way instead of just wherever they are, how important would it be for the black males just kind of step up and lead in this as well?
And there's one group that I saw that was featured on national TV, and this is for Father's Day, where black fathers are uniting across the country, which I thought was very positive. I don't think you're going to ever get anybody to totally, you know, be 100% with anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There are those who may feel, if they've been incarcerated or whatever case may be, they may not feel like they have the tools or the skills or communication skills to really be involved with different things.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that go into that. Some may really feel ashamed, you know, by some of the things you just talked about, Doc, you know, about well, who would listen to me and who would care. The bottom line is, I think what I like about all the movement now is the fact that these millennials are telling us and saying to everyone, forget about all this. We've got to unite and be together and make the changes, you know, in our country and come together to do that. So for whatever reason keeps a person back from doing another thing too, everyone's not comfortable about doing social protesting and things of that nature. They're not comfortable with it. So I think that whatever can be done, and the fact that we are seeing a lot of black men out there in the Black Lives Matter movement, both black and brown men, I think is a good sign. And the fact that they're all not, and they're very diverse in terms of the ethnicity and race. So I think that's good. That's a good positive step. And maybe it'll encourage others to come out for whatever reasons they're sitting back.
Or become more confident. You know, education.
Exactly.
You know, I'm all about educating. But people, I think, lack confidence and their self-esteem is low. And I think I think we're going to keep seeing more changes or more people coming out, and I'd like to see more people writing to Congress, you know, writing letters. You know, this is how we get things changed also, you know, to get laws changed or put things in place. But I think that's a lot of it, lack of confidence, self-esteem, uncertain of what to say or how to approach it.
Exactly.
And then people pushing you down, people feeling like you've been pushed down or pushed away.
Or pushed,
you know,
out.
Not heard or pushed out. Yeah, or your voice isn't being heard. And that's frustrating in itself.
Exactly.
You know.
And let's keep in mind that this is something that's always been sort of in existence in within our cultural, and we don't want to blame anybody else, but there have been acts to keep the black male voice down, and sometimes we fell into it as well. Now it's time. All it's been asked is to step up, and as you said, it started about the group, and they had it in Montgomery. But it seemed like it wasn't publicized like it should have, because the only reason I had an opportunity to see it was because they showed them on the news at the Capitol step. All of them up there, all
right.
The black. See, that should be available for everybody. Back to education, back to getting the word out. Yeah, some people don't have confidence, but they also feel like they are excluded a lot of times. Yeah, because I've been incarcerated, but I'm out now putting my life together. I still can have a voice because I have family, and I have to kind of show them as well. We got so many ways that we can be a part of, but we can't get to the point that we're doing things in a fight to make sure Black Lives Matter. Then we also don't bring along those ones that need to be brought along. And I'm just saying it's important, because we can't have a lot of them sitting back and not doing it, waiting on the millennials to do it, because it's up to everybody to pull together. We can march out of pain, but we got to march for change. That's what we got to make sure we do. And we got to take those giant steps, and the black male has to step up and step in one phase or another and doesn't worry about that, because there's a fight to get the vote back for the individual incarcerated. It is a fight, but still we can get in to do a lot of other things. That what I'm saying, when we do get out and incarcerated, even though we've been incarcerated, and even to the point we don't tell people we've been incarcerated, we get into relationships and everything. A lot of things goes on, but we have to stand up now and work hard to unite and be in support. And we should look at a person because you don't have a college degree. And that's where we got to have change, where people see each other at a point as equal. We can't ask for equality when we are not equal to each other equal. And we have to make sure we do that.
I think this movement is showing.
Make sure you call in, give us a shout on the chat line, and then press 1, and we'll make sure you're on here, give your name and location, and then you offer your comments and offer your thoughts as well as the wisdom that you have. All right, Scarlett.
I think this movement is showing that because right now, if you talk about equality among ourselves, it couldn't be the more equal, because, you know, that college degree person out there marching now probably is not working. You know, so if you're ashamed about, you know, being incarcerated, not having a job, not being able to do this, homeless, whatever case may be, you're not alone. Don't ever think you're alone, because there are a lot of people that are not working through no fault of their own. There are a lot of people getting unemployment benefits who never got them before. There are people who are going through food lines, getting food for their families who never did that before. So, you know, you're talking about an equalizer. I think that we're seeing an equalizer. Now, this pandemic has pulled the Band-Aid off of a lot of wounds. And maybe after it's over, people will have a better understanding and appreciation for the people in this country who have been marginalized for a long, long, long time, you know, and who were invisible to just about everybody for a long, long, long time. we're now seeing now. The eyes are open. They should be, you know, because when you can't empathize with someone else, if you're in their shoes now, that gives you a new feeling and a better perspective. Okay, I get it now. I get it.
Well, you know what else? You know what else, guys? Uh-huh. And I was just telling my mom, I remembered many years ago I did a career day at a school, and I remember walking in this room. It was second graders. And I walk in, and I'm like, okay, we're going to set the mats up and this and that. And then the teacher pointed at this kid up front, young little African-American boy. She goes, he's bad. He needs this. And her arms were crossed, and I looked at her because I don't acknowledge, you know, ignorance or negativity. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you think you need to do the class with us? And she was like, no. So I just said to him, come sit up by me. You'll help me teach today. He was perfect. He helped me clean up the mats. I didn't even ask him. He you know, he could tell. And then he looked at me, and he says, you know, I am bad. And he goes, I'm bad because I'm black. And I said, I said, excuse me? You know, I was just like, first of all, you're not bad. And I said, second of all, maybe you just didn't make good choices sometimes, like me. I said, I don't always make good choices. Doesn't mean you're bad. And I said, it has nothing to do with the color of your skin. Well, I went right up to the office to talk with, you know, and I don't know this school because I don't work at this school. This was many years ago, like when I first started, but I just couldn't believe that. And I made like a complaint and I said, look, either the teacher needs some kind of direction or something. And I said, it's probably not my place to tell you what to do. But when you make statements like that to children, it sticks with them. And it's interesting because about less than a year later, guys, I was at a community center doing some free work, and there I see this young man, and he comes running up and gives me a hug, and he gets into a tree pose. And I'm looking at him, and I said, you've been practicing yoga? I said, I haven't seen you. He said, Miss Lisa, I practice every day since I met you. And unfortunately, I lost track of him, but my point is, you empower children, and you never, ever, ever, somebody must have told him he was bad because he was black, or he picked up on that. But you don't say things like that. And kids are smart, guys. You know that. Kids pick up on everything. I don't let the kids use any words, stupid, bad, any of that. They're not allowed to say that. I always say we don't always all make good choices. That's part of life, me included. But you don't have a kid feeling like that. And that's where it starts, at a young age, when somebody makes a comment like that. It follows them.
But make sure that we're not doing that at home. You know, I'm in this field for a long, long, long time. And I always said to parents, don't call your child bad. Don't say that.
No.
You know, please.
Never.
You know, don't do that. Mm-hmm. So we got to make sure it starts at home, too, because they not only hear it
absolutely.
In school, they hear it in, at home and in other places within the community.
Yeah,
exactly.
It really bothered me, and I was not going to teach at that place. Like I said, it was a career day, but I don't like to be affiliated because all my schools I'm at and everybody I work with, we're all on the same page, you know. But you don't ever tell a child something like that. And we have to empower these kids at a young age. And other things I do say to kids is when they do something, I'm like, oh, you seem so proud of yourself. And I'm like, I'm so proud of you. And, you know, we have to build them up. I think that is so important. And I notice even in my classes, my kids, you know, they copy things that I'm saying, you know, to them. Because I have a big thing about trust, and I say, do you trust me? Do you trust that I'm going to hold you up? And then they say that to each other, and they're like, I'm your friend. And you know, I notice with kids, they're not as they're colorblind. You know what I mean? They're sex blind. They don't see male or female. You know, they just see, this is my friend I go to school with. These are my observations when I'm interacting, and I like to see that. because then I know, you know, they're being taught something, you know, and something good, and that's important because, you know, these things aren't good. And to me, kids, when they say stuff like that, they do hear it at home or they see it on the internet. Am I right?
Exactly.
When they make comments about race or sex or things like that, it's just not.
And that's one of the challenges we have, you know, and we got to realize with our young people that we keep telling them they're bad. But the big pickup when you were sharing when you walked in the classroom, Lisa, was that teacher had already planted a seed. That
already.
Seed was that, you know, he needed it more than everybody. The truth of the matter, everybody in that room needed some form of fashion.
Of course they
but
did.
She had already, and all the children had picked up on, all the other people had, that other student had picked up on as well. So we had to be careful as adults what we say.
Of course.
You know, we're not being positive. A lot of time when we're negative, it sticks more with individuals than we think it do. Even with adults, you can say something with adults, it sticks with them.
Yep.
And if you telling them that they're losers, they ain't no good, they sorry. Yeah, I hear it too many times on a lot of these talk shows, and I hear the divorce court, and the woman keep telling the man he ain't no good, he's sorry. And, you know, and all that kind of, we have to kind of be careful because our emotional and our low esteem develop, whether it's going to be high or low, depending on how people treat you, and we have to keep that in mind. All right, next, you're going to take a step a little bit away from that, but we're still going to be talking about Black Lives Matter because we got some couple things I want to touch bases on. But I had a question about should more Black history venues be open and constructed to make sure we can educate individuals about what we're going through, what inequalities we're going through, what kind of racism. We can't assume they know, because a lot of time people of other cultural may not know, because even they may run into, for example, Hispanics, Asians, or individuals, you know, they run into challenges too. Should we have more? Because I know here in Montgomery they added about 3 recently dealing with through the Equal Justice Initiative. So they are added several places you can go and find out more about the Black history, the Black cultural, and find out so we can educate. People not going to understand just we thinking because they're marching beside us and doing this. They still have questions, and we got to be able to educate them. What are your thoughts on that? Do we need to have more venues throughout the country? And not just have in one place, people just can't go. Like, for example, in D.C., you can't go. Most folks will never go to D.C. So do we need more throughout parts of the country, certain areas like in the south, southeastern part? Do we need more? Where are the large concentration? What's your thoughts on that, team?
I think the venues across the country would be good. At one time, the Smithsonian was talking about that, bringing mobile units across the country to teach things like or to give a historical perspective on Black history and things of this nature. I'm going to say something real controversial. I'm really am not a fan of having Black history taught in the schools, because of who's teaching it. Most of the schools, when you do not have people who are really, because it was mandated, unless it's part of your curriculum, it needs to be in the textbooks, it needs to be accurate in the textbooks, but as we know, that's not possible in quite a few places either, where some places like Texas have had historical information removed from their textbooks years ago. So I just think that, you know, stuff like that, you know, I like to see like a Harry, Harry Edwards and folks or somebody
Dr.
who has a real, out of California, who are real knowledgeable and can teach this stuff in locations or bring them in for, a couple of 6 weeks or 9 weeks course or whatever case may be, but just have somebody pick up a book. And the only thing you ever hear about and see is the I Have a Dream speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. That's pretty much the extent of Black history in the school systems, pretty much. And then it's not well taught because you have a majority white teaching populations. And for some who are younger Black teachers, if they didn't get it taught in their schools when they were coming through school, they've missed it too. So you got you got gaps here. You know, am I making sense? You got gaps here. And so you got to be careful who's teaching this stuff, because if somebody really doesn't know what they're talking about, you're not getting an effect out of it anyway.
Well, you know what I think the problem is too, guys? And I don't know about other states, but Florida, all they care about is testing. They're not teaching history. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like I say, I don't know. But the issue is, like, when I was younger, I was taught this, like, in school. We were taught history. It was in the books. These kids are not learning that. And they'll tell me. I've had kids say to me, we don't learn like the way you learned. You know, you learned about the Civil War. You learned about this. They're not learning anything. They're learning how to take a test. And we can't erase history, but we need to bring it to light, and we need to educate. You know, and like I said last week with the Holocaust Museum, we do need more things like that. We do need to show, because I feel, you know, and I'm a visual learner myself, but sometimes people need to see things, and it should be mandatory in the schools. It should be. I mean, I don't know what the kids tell me. They show me things that they're learning. Guys, I'll be 50. I don't even understand it. And the parents don't understand it. And I think it's very important to bring it into education. I mean, what are they learning, you know?
And that
I'm opposed to it being mandatory, because again, for who's teaching it, and because the curriculums in American schools have pretty much been watered down anyway, and the only thing we did do, what you call teaching to the test for Black kids, we got to teach the skills on how to even take the test. So it's just you know, I'm just telling you like it is for somebody who just recently was there. You know, you have to teach the skills on how to even take the darn test. And then you got legislators who are legislating all this from the state departments of education and to the state legislators who are mandating this stuff, and they don't know. Because you got people down there who don't even have a high school education who are elected as legislators in your states.
Exactly.
So, you know, we have people on the school board here. When I first moved here, when my husband and I first moved here, two didn't even have a high school education. They had to go back and get a GED after they got on the school board. Now, what kind of sense does this make? But there's a kind of people that we know we keep electing, and when you don't go vote, and people elect this kind of stuff, this is what we have.
And this is going to be the result of it. Everybody got to understand that.
And it's the results of it.
Sure. You know, one of the things, I was listening to Dr. Edwards today from Dr. Harry Edwards, and he was talking about it. That's why I come up with that statement when he said we was marching, protesting for pain, out of pain. Now we need to protest for change. And by having change, he brought up, said change, for example, would be we have 100 senators, correct? Only one Black senator.
And he's the one writing the legislation for the policing change. And he's from this state. I won't even start there with him.
Yeah. So he's a Republican, but I'm just saying, but think about all the Democrats, you know, why don't we have more? Why we only have one out of 100? I can't answer that question. We can't answer tonight, but that was something he was saying. If we want to make change, we got to make change there as well, because there's representation that, you know, encounter includes those individuals that would make up the change from being only one Black. And he talks about several other things, and I won't get into all of that. But one of the things he did talk about, and I'm going to talk about it as well, education. We got to be able to educate. One of the topics I had here is that whether or not the participants that are of the majority race that are white or either Hispanic, are they helpful or are they a distraction? Because of something, Scarlett, you said a minute ago, as well as Alisa, about education. These people, these one at that margin, have nothing, don't understand anything about a lot of inequality they encounter. A lot of them have been entitled. A lot of them, think about these 20 and 21 years old. They can't even talk about being in some situations that, you know, because it's all about a financial. Now, people can agree or disagree, but let's be realistic. Those individuals need to hear from exactly what equality is. If you're not teaching in school, where are they learning? Their parents haven't experienced it. A lot of their parents haven't experienced it. Think about it. They haven't experienced it. You have to get into the baby boomers to experience where it was some real inequality moments. You have to get into that time frame. And you got, it's hard for them. Then they do ask that question, why are you out here? Why are you out here? Education is important. They got to learn really what's really going on to see exactly. And some of them, they've been in some of the, you know, integrated schools, some of the best schools. And some, you know, they had opportunity to go to schools there and move out of one, I mean, bust them out of one neighborhood to another neighborhood, and they still never look back to see the inequality that they encountered there. So what are we? This is good to have the masses out here. We're marching and protesting in pain, but are we gonna, can we get change? Can we get the protest for change? And the thing about it is it's going to come from the masses, because there's majority of young people that don't even understand. They get mad, and Scarlett, you know as well as Lisa, if you ask them about that grade, one of the things I always used to ask young people, I said, how do you do in that class? That teacher gave me. The teacher gave me. So they are only
impressed that I earned. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. So how can you explain, how can they share with those individuals, the whites, the Hispanics, and Asians, when they don't even understand themselves? And
well,
here's another big problem with schooling. This whole virtual program did not work, from what I'm hearing.
No.
And nobody's learning anything.
Not a darn thing.
A lot of, and it's, they're not learning. And so now we come back to, okay, I've got parents saying they want to homeschool or create their own homeschooling programs because the kids didn't learn anything. And I'm hearing some of the teachers weren't going on, and I'm hearing all different things, you know, and I'm trying to like be encouraging with the kids, but now we have an even bigger issue.
Well, you got a whole generation.
What's going on?
Yeah, a whole generation that missed out on a lot of instruction, because there's a lot of instruction that takes place between the time that we shut the schools were shut down.
There's a lot of instruction that
happens from after Christmas until you get ready to close school for the year. There's a tremendous amount of instruction that takes place. And when the schools were shut down, you lost all that.
You lost all that.
No, they weren't taken seriously. And I encourage some folks to call the school board or call down to the district office and let them know, you know, that these teachers are not responding. They're not checking in, you know. But then the thing is, you shouldn't be surprised, because that's the same way they do when they're there physically in the classroom every day.
Exactly.
You know, the conscientious teachers are going to be conscientious teachers. Those who are in it just to have a job are in it just to have a job. That's why we've said on this show over and over and over again, you need to be at that schoolhouse. You need to be asking questions. In fact, one show, you know, we gave them a bunch of questions they could take and ask, you know, in parent-teacher conferences. You got to be on top of it, because there's going to be a lot of miseducation of this group of children. Miseducation in a group of children. And
it's
our responsibility. But it's also the folks who are signing those contracts, making the money to teach your children, it's their responsibility. And if you see a slackness on the virtual stuff, you can imagine what happens in the classroom every day.
Oh yeah. And just to add to that, I had a couple other people tell me, which is kind of surprising, you know, and I saw this, you know, they said school really was out as of March the 13th. And anything after that, it was just hopefully for extra credit.
It was gone.
And I had a big problem with that because if you was normally in school, you'll be working because some people, even parents told me, they went and asked the principal and the teacher about the work they want to work for their child to work on. They told them, say, okay, this is the work, but, you know, you can turn it in. If you don't want to turn it in, you don't have to turn it in. I have a problem because you're throwing these young people farther behind. So what I'm saying, we got generations now that's been behind, especially dealing with things that we may encounter in the form of inequality and even sense of racism. They just haven't encountered that. So it's kind of hard for you to come up with a plan to move forward when you don't understand what people been through and what your race has really been through. And if you're not teaching, what's going to happen from March 13 until August, if we get started, because I hear a lot of opportunity where they're kind of staggering the schedule. They may not have everybody at school at the same time.
Which makes no sense, yeah.
They're already
it
behind.
Just doesn't make sense.
It's gonna be a mess. Let's go
well,
on.
First of all,
they
could have
talking
about inequality. I don't think you're gonna ever be able to explain inequality to these generations below the baby boomers. I think you see a lot of signs in the movement now with the word injustice. They can understand that. You know, when you're seeing somebody being suffocated on national TV, that's an injustice. You know, they can see stuff like that and relate to that. And I think that's why it has touched so many people, because it's the injustice of it. When someone gets a job or something and you're just equally as qualified, that's the injustice that you see. But to talk about the inequality, every night, you know, and I wish I really need to start delete some of these folks, you know, people being lynched and seeing them lynched from, you know, back in 1800s and in the summer of 1919, they won't understand that. You know, they see the images, but that doesn't resonate. Injustice does.
Exactly. That's all right. That's what we're talking about. We just talked about America busting that scene with COVID-19. You know, we tried our best to try to make sure, because team, I tell you, it's 8:24 when we actually started talking, and it's 9:28 now. So we're going to come back.
I
want to
have it where we come on live, guys. When can we come on live so everyone can see us?
Well, I ain't coming on live because at night I like being loose and free.
We can make it work.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to make it work.
No, I will not be making it work. Y'all will lose me.
So we'll ask for your voice to come in.
I feel like getting out of my pajamas because I put them on at a certain time.
We agree with you 100% on that. awesome. It's been an awesome show for the time we was able to get off. We had some technical difficulty earlier, but we worked through it, and I appreciate all those people that hung in here. And we had some people added, but we had several people just hung in here and said, we're going to go along with you and see exactly what you're talking about. Shout out to Emma Richardson. She joined us, and we appreciate you joining. Rachel Robinson, Rachel members, Rachel Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you, Rachel, out of Florida. She's out of Northern Florida, I'll say that. We have Kim Sellers Bates, Sierra Washington, and we had our co-host Lisa also at the time on Facebook as well. Then we had Lisa Maria Smith Sherrod was joining us. We also had the Queen Ministress Lewis. She's She's a host of one of the shows on Thursday night called the Minister Shannon Show. And I give a shout out to Spinning Through, Marvin Lala Smith. He has a show come on Facebook, and he do some DJing on there, some spiritual and some gospel music. We had Phoenix Brown, Marquita Turner, member of the Zeta Phi Beta Sword Incorporated. Give her a shout out. Also, let me flip back up here. Kim Sellers Bates, I mentioned her already, but I'll mention her again. Sharonda finally finished Tombstone. Thank you so much. Tombstone, thank you so much. Shonda Williams, thank you very much as well. Otis Grayson, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Perrin Bank, my legacy, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Marcus Cheney, International Director of Education for Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Thank you, Marcus, former past Southern Regional Director. He's actually number 34. And 35 is in there now. Roy Edmonds is in there now, about to go out. We'll be moving to 36. Then we have Nicole Sharon Brown, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, and also an author who's on the show. We had an awesome show, even though we had our difficulties early, but we talked about it. But we're coming back next Monday again. We'll be on time, and I'm going to give an option, Lisa, to make sure you be able to be. We can visualize this thing. I'm going to get that same auction as well as making sure we're done by audio as well. Scarlett and the many other individual joiners have been awesome tonight. If you take a minute, each one of y'all, to close the show out tonight from your point of view, then I will wrap it all up.
You want me to go? Well,
yeah.
I'm just going to end on this, guys. Be kind to one another, be respectful, and stay safe. This too shall pass, and be in the moment. Be mindful. There we go. Be mindful. Be in the moment. Be present. Namaste, guys. Have a peaceful night.
Well, thank you for joining us and for working with us through our technical difficulties.
We appreciate it.
We have a tremendous, wonderful audience. And, again, special thanks to our Divine Nine who are always hanging in there with us on this show also, and the great work that we collectively do in our communities. We just have a lot ahead of us. We have a lot that this pandemic has really uncovered. And that's not a bad thing, because it's time for change in this country for the better, for everyone and not just a select group. So, again, we thank all of you for joining us and hope to see you next week.
Awesome, awesome. Been awesome tonight. Thank you, team, so much for just working with the situation, and you hung in there, and we appreciate you. You know, I love y'all for doing that, and I love you for we want to be a part of it. You know, it's been awesome. My hashtag is stay at home and stay alive. We still got it in place. Also, keep on grinding. And we want to make sure you understand, communicate for understanding. And then we also want to make sure you know that we will be having a show on Wednesday night in regards to our Talking Sports Plus, starting up at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It is the voice of the historical colleges and black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States, as well as just offering some Power Five talk as well and Group of Five. So we're going to talk sport. We're going to talk about COVID-19 and the things that are occurring in various conferences and what is going on with several players returning back to the campuses, which we have large cases of breakouts of COVID 19 within those players coming back. We're going to talk about that, and we look forward to having an awesome night. The co-host I have, the five, will be joining me. We're going to have an awesome time. And we'll come back on Thursday night with the Love Cafe. It's been good to be with you. Again, we apologize, but, you know, we're continuing to allow God to guide us, and sometimes the devil tried to work against us, but we know God got us, so we're going to keep on coming at you. We're going to bring everything through this vessel of love, peace, joy, and happiness. And last thing I want to say to everybody, as we leave here tonight, we have to keep in mind, tell your family and your friends that you love them. And we're going to say eventually we can see out far, far, whether it's 21, 22, that this COVID-19 will be over. And we're going to be being able to learn and grow because life will be a lot better. Even though we're busting out at the seams, I want you to understand that no matter COVID, social unrest, political unrest, whatever it may be, God got you. And it's going to be over soon. So it's over now. We'll say over now because we're going to close out tonight. We'll see you on Wednesday. And last but not least, I love you. And I'm going to say you
crying so many
times.
Trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power. And you ignored all my tears. In the hopes they disappear. And go,
but I guess
you just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried to call your name, tell me I'd be wealthy. Learned that I could cope. Well, 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 well. I discovered I could make it. Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold. I discovered I could take it. Now I wouldn't change a thing, no, no. Not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this, I learned that I could grow. I want you to